CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, it's Tuesday morning. Are you ready to take on the day? Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's kick some backside today.
Oh, Chamon.
Don't you feel that way? I got in the car this morning. I haven't felt this way about the morning for a long time. I love this time of year. You know that. I'm biased hopelessly in favor of spring and summer. I'm not a winter guy, and there's nothing I like about it. My mood will steadily improve as we head towards December. You're in for a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, winter guys are mostly guys with body odor.
Excuse Sorry. Me? You reckon?
Well, the ones that like winter the most because you sweat the least. So, Gareth, you are not on that category.
Okay, thank God.
You've just confirmed that.
You promised me. All of you would promise me you'd tell me if I had body odor or bad breath.
It's been confirmed.
Thank God.
According to the survey done by Kopinski and Kopinski Associates.
Yeah.
That's the correlation.
It's one of the hardest working survey companies under the sun.
That's right. Ooh. They're very successful. They actually predicted the Trump election. They predicted Brexit. Very few people did.
Wow.
So, the usual crew, Sia and Ben and Gareth and Nolo, and this morning we are joined by none other than Lorraine Maisel!
Morning, morning all! Good to be here at the crack of dawn.
Dawn's crack.
The dawn's crack, right.
How do you like dawn's crack, huh? How do you like dawn's crack from this angle? Law has been a member of the CliffCentral.com family for the longest time. She was here right from the get-go. We had a show that she was part of from the beginning. You were first part of Keeping Up with the Calvaries.
That's correct. Mm. That was about a year and a half I was keeping up with the Calvaries.
Bad chapter in your life.
Very bad chapter. I got kicked around and abused.
You were like the third wheel in a very, very crooked car.
I actually felt like the fifth wheel in the crooked car.
You got an understanding about Damon's day-to-day life because he gets kicked around and abused.
Yes.
Ay-ay-ay.
I got it bad.
Jesus. Boy, did you try to keep up.
And then eventually...
I did try and keep up with the Calvaries.
Damon's wife, Bernice, forced you to quit the show.
Yeah.
And then, so we thought, you know what, Law's very entertaining. We give her another show.
Yeah.
And for a while you did laughter therapy.
Be with Lorraine Maisel.
That's right.
And oh, that was fun.
It was lots of fun. This is not your job, by the way, to let people know you're a serious human being with an actual business of your own that you've been running for how long is it now? 15 years?
14 years. Yes. I've had my PR company.
Mazel tov and
Simitov. Mazel tov and Simitov.
Wanted to lift someone up on a chair.
Lorraine, it's like Lorraine, we practiced that.
Yeah. I'm jolly this morning.
Lorraine has been in PR, but she's also been a fashion consultant, a stylist, to the stars.
Ooh.
And to various brands. I mean, there have been huge, big brands that have asked you to be the person who's their kind of their guardian and their caretaker in South Africa, which is enormous. I mean, the responsibility is huge.
Completely. It's about launching those brands that really, they come from overseas and they've got these high expectations, and here you've got to share it with an African market which doesn't understand fashion that well and doesn't know...
You mean in terms of international fashion?
International fashion, absolutely. So, yeah, 14 years I've been running little styling concepts.
Yeah, and well, when you talk about South Africa and fashion, I mean, how are we doing? Because I see a huge number of very fashionable people walking around all the time. I saw on Heritage Day just... people decked out to the nines. I mean, I do think South Africans have a better sense of fashion than they used to.
Absolutely.
And I got to be like
And we have a lot more. We have a lot more variety to choose from. We have a lot more brands that we can go to. And I mean, 5 years ago, we didn't have the bigger chains.
Right.
And now we have. And we've got the designer labels and the designer stores. So yes, there's definitely a bigger variety for people to choose from.
And it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg like it used to once before. I mean, we complain about price increases and all the rest of it. But now you can pop into a Zara or a
H&M
or even a Mr. Price, for God's sake, and you can find decent stuff, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's quality and it's affordable and it's very fashionable, and that's what people are doing. And people are mixing and matching. You're either wearing like a Zara pair of trousers or you're wearing a Mr. Price top. So you're able to, make all the price... the pricing not still look good and sexy and hot.
Yeah, you don't have to look stupid.
No, absolutely.
All right, well, this is very good news. Give us a quick appraisal around the room of what you think of Nolo's hair.
Oh, Nolo's
no. That's a trademark.
I met Nolo for the first time in the ladies, and she looks so sexy. Me. She's got this turquoise, beautiful hair. She's very beautiful. She's completely sexy. Ben.
Straight to
I have
Ben.
Not seen...
I look like a drop breakfast until about 8 o'clock every day.
You look absolutely... I've never seen you in a collared shirt and a smart pair of trousers. Well, it's jeans.
Well, it's just jeans. A pair of shoes. I know I've got things to do today. I just couldn't work them out as I was leaving. So I just threw on clothes I thought might work.
It looks very good. You look hot and sexy.
You sometimes do that when you leave home and you haven't had a look at the diary. So you don't know what's in the... So you rather dress smarter than you... You know, you kind of up the ante on
rather over
the look, absolutely.
You can always take something
under,
else.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. Because you can take stuff off, you can never put stuff on if you don't have it with you.
Absolutely. Oh.
This is a trademark waiting to happen. The appraisal by Maisel.
The fashion appraisal by Maisel.
Well, let me tell you, this
I'll
is
take
a show.
2% from it.
You it's talk like first about 5 minutes of the show every week.
No, every day. You got to dress up every day.
Seriously, wouldn't it be funny to... You know how they have the fashion policeman, God bless her, Joan Rivers of Ashalom, when she was still with us. What a great woman.
Absolutely.
When Joan Rivers was around, she used to tear a new arsehole in the backs of anyone who dressed badly, and she would have something to say about everybody in Hollywood, right? I mean, she was just unstoppable.
I used to love that show.
Oh, so did I.
Don't get me started how I could do a bit of a couple of people that I think are looking shocking at the moment.
Well, this is the point.
Like whom?
I don't even want to start.
But hang on. I mean, you could be, in South Africa, you could be our replacement for Joan. Because we don't have a show like that at the moment. All of it's so saccharine and sweet and boring and nice. And people all, hey, you look fabulous, even though they look
shit. I'm dressed by this person. Oh, you look fabulous.
Meanwhile, pay your taxes.
Yeah.
Gareth, is there anything you want to say about someone? I'm just asking.
I'd happily produce that show.
Yeah, I think it would be a really good show.
I happened to turn on to Idols on Sunday night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for some stupid...
Lucky you, I haven't seen it. What's going on there? Is it still the same people?
Still
I spoke to Randall the other day.
Yeah, I spoke to him yesterday actually as well. But I just looked at some of the outfits not Randall, because you know Randall's quite dressed down.
Oh, Jesus, look at that hair though.
But
it's out of control.
Tamizi's
right?
hair was like...
I'm talking Randall's hair.
Oh, Randall. No, but Randall looks like he's a reincarnated Elvis.
No,
give
Jesus.
Him a break.
No, it looks like a cartoon character has you know when they their head
oh, what was it? Johnny Bravo with
yeah, something
play.
Like that. Yeah, something like that. That's kind of what it looks like. Love that laugh.
Johnny Bravo. Randall.
All right. Well, we've got lots to talk about this morning. Laura is going to be joining us for the entire show today, and we've got Robin popping by from Lifestyle Home and Garden to tell us what to do in the garden this month because it's October, which is the most beautiful month in the garden. Laura, you love flowers and beauty and
absolutely
nice
nature. Love
you,
it.
You lie naked outside all the time.
I do. Yes. I do. Now that I have my hot bod, I do.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this for a second, because I think the last time a lot of people would have seen you, certainly in a Cliff Central context, was 2.5 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Jesus.
So can you believe it? It's 3 years ago.
You used to be like three times the size.
I was. I was 37 kilograms heavier than I am right now. So I'm a lot lighter and a lot...
How many kilograms heavier?
A seer.
37.
Wow. Lost one seer. Whole seer. Yeah,
that is a whole seer. A little seer. I lost you, baby. I gave birth to you.
But you went through some hell to get to where you are now, but you're looking fantastic.
Thanks.
Honestly, you know, I'm not a complimentary guy
about
people who are overweight and people who are obese. And you know, I used to tease you, but I also, you never really had a bad personality. A lot of people, when they're unhappy with themselves physically, they have a horrible personality. You were always very upbeat, but I knew you weren't where you wanted to be. And you were talking about it all the time. You were going on these Native American sweats and you were doing... whatever you needed to do.
And well, the sweats weren't because of the weight. The sweats were because of a spiritual path that I'd taken. But yeah, being fat was...
was shit.
It was shit. I had a muffin top. It was my worst. Oh. It was horrible.
Well, for someone who also...
and I had to wear these big tent dresses. When I threw out all my clothes out of my cupboard when I did my first clean out, I literally had... tent.
A mountain of these things.
A mountain of the same black dress that I wore all the time, and it was like a tent. So for me, it's a completely... now I can walk into a Zara or an H&M and buy a medium or a large. Which, you know what I mean?
For someone who's been in the fashion business for such a long time, must have been really frustrating when you were big, because there's just so little that you can do, you know?
And in those days, there was no decent fashion. I literally
used to go all those years ago.
I used to have to go all to these local designers and start designing my own clothes just so I could look fashionable and wear a tent at the same time. So, you know, like a big piece of fabric.
Are you getting a lot more interest from men who want to have sex with you now?
I am. I'm getting shagged every so often. My Tinder app is on fire.
Oh, you're on Tinder?
Yeah.
Now, Tinder is quite an interesting environment, right? I mean, I made a Tinder profile once just to see what it was. I haven't been on there for 6 years, but I needed to check it out. And wow, there's some dodgy people on that thing. Huh?
No, listen. And you know what? I've been caught twice.
What do you mean? Like catfished?
No.
What, caught twice?
Can I please pick up this Saudi parcel?
No. Oh, pick up a parcel for someone?
Pick up a parcel. Listen, I'm leaving the country and I'm going overseas. Can you possibly just go and pick up this parcel for me, hold it onto it, and when I get back in a week, I'll come and collect it from you. I said, I don't even know you. Who the f*** are you? Yeah. I mean, just...
I'm on here for sex.
Yeah. Tinder is a sex place.
I'm here for a different package.
Show me your package and then I'll decide, right? Lord, like, WhatsApp me your junk and then we'll see.
Don't look at my phone, G.
You got a lot of dick pics on your phone?
I can't say.
That's confirmation, all right.
Look at you. Coming to life. I love it.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
I'm happy for you because you seem to me to be a lot happier. But, I mean, obviously, there are lots of people in this economy who are taking strain, because my God, it is not easy out there.
No, it's not.
And in the luxury brands and in the fashion world, it must be tough as
hell.
Yeah.
Retail is struggling. People are not spending money. I think that because of the exchange rate, the rand's not great, and things are a lot more expensive. So yeah, it's tough out there. It's fighting. And the first thing that brands do cut when they cut budgets is their marketing. And that for me as a marketeer, I think that's just the wrong way of doing it. You should be fighting for your brand. You know, for your brand even more. You should be fighting for a share of that market because there's so many brands out there. So yeah, for me that is don't cut your budgets. Go in fighting. And there's just so many different ways in PR besides just sending out your normal PR press release. There's the influencer marketing. There's the social media platforms. There's just so many other ways of ensuring that your brand is spoken about and making a conversation out there.
Yeah, I mean, the point is also, and I would say this to all the marketers, and there are a lot of people who listen to us who probably have important marketing jobs in various companies. You know, Baron Rothschild back in the 1800s said, the time to buy is when there's blood in the streets.
Absolutely.
And that's also true for marketing.
Completely.
The time to advertise, the time to market, the time to get out there and make a noise is when there's blood in the streets, because people will remember you a lot better than they will when
Absolutely. Everybody's
on the bandwagon.
And everybody's sitting back waiting for something to happen and nothing is actually happening.
Well, don't worry. If you've got customers like Sia, he never stops shopping.
Guys, well, it's just a way of life, really.
In your black t-shirt and black jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid we didn't talk much about me and Sia because we're just wearing all black.
Yeah, today. You are wearing all black, both of the two.
It's a uniform.
You had a chat this morning before the show.
No, you know what it is? It's nondescript. It's like you were talking about your tent dresses. And I think this is true for a lot of people. Sometimes when you leave home, you're like, well, I don't need to make a statement today. Some people don't.
I just want to be quiet.
Yeah, you just kind of want to blend in. It's not about me. I'll fit into
wherever I'm going. And black is the color.
No, that's not me. No.
Sorry. So I was speaking for myself.
No, yeah, really. It doesn't make sense for me, no.
I'm a big black fan. Yeah, I love black and grey.
I'm a fan of the blacks as well.
They're very easy to wear. Oh, Gareth.
I'm also the fan. I love
the blacks.
I love black and blacks. I think blacks is great.
Well, now that we've got that off our chests, good. Okay. Wow. Anybody like the Asians while we're on this? You all went quiet, you racist.
Yeah. Wow.
I had my hand up.
Now, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on in the news. We're obviously, you know, in the middle of craziness all over America. And there are other countries where there are things happening too. I mean, most especially, I saw Theresa May. We joked about this the other day in the unnews, but she's dancing again.
Awesome. Go, Theresa. Go, yeah, girl. Yeah.
Dancing queen.
Keep going.
I have to ask, who is it? Like, you know, I don't dance because I probably would look like Theresa May. If I dance in public, it's either because I'm really, really drunk, and I don't think Theresa May is drunk on the stage at the Tory conference, or because I'm on my own. I've danced on my own when I'm really, really happy.
Oh.
That's nice, Sia.
Well, okay.
Don't go, oh, like you feel sorry for me. Don't be, well, so patronizing.
I think in my head, I'm hearing the Callum Scott song, I Keep Dancing on My Own, and it's sad.
No. I'm talking like Tom Cruise in
Friday Night. Oh.
What was that show? That
movie? Oh, the white Risky briefs business. And Risky the business, right? White crisp shirts at home.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't really do that, and certainly not in underpants. But
with her, though, she was walking onto stage, and they were playing music. There's like a few, who was it? There's this popular comedian who said they refused to go onto the Ellen DeGeneres show because the same thing with Ellen, you know, you have to walk out, there's music, everyone is watching you, you have to now dance. You can't exactly walk onto stage to Dancing Queen and you're just...
Oh my gosh, the idea of Theresa May on Ellen, that's got to happen.
That'll be horrible.
Take it further, then Theresa goes into the aisles up the stairs as well. Yeah. Oh, Ellen, please make it happen.
Yeah, that would be really great.
It'd be your biggest show worldwide.
It would, and so such bad dancing. Anyway, this dancing thing is a big deal. Like, people are really into it. There are these shows like Strictly Come Dancing, and what are the other ones? Dancing with the Stars.
Factor.
So You Think You Can Dance.
Right. I mean, listen, people love to dance. It's their thing. But Theresa May should not be allowed to dance.
I don't believe there's such a thing as bad dancing.
Oh, Jesus. Did you see it?
I love dancing. Dancing makes me so happy, but I cannot dance to save my life.
So you're saying it's an individual expression. It's like art. There's no right and wrong.
The music is there, and I'm totally out of sync with it, but I'm having so much fun.
It's movement. It's an expression, Gareth.
You know,
and Theresa May dancing also just brings to the point that politicians have nothing. So the fact that she's doing that just proves that these people are just absolute losers. She can dance, and I like Theresa May, but the fact that this has become a thing now just shows how bankrupt politicians are in every other facet of life.
That's true.
Because the Tories
definitely don't know how to dance.
Because the Tories are going, Theresa, if you can just dance a bit, our ratings will go up. She's going, good idea.
It's like it's desperate, and they trundle her off there.
Wait, do you really think it was planned?
Of course, yeah. These politicians, they have nothing natural about them. There's no charisma, there's no charm, there's no purpose. They are there to just take placeholder moments in life.
Well, I also think that they're just running out of ideas. That's where Ben's spot on. Like, you know, if you have to think about it, what you have to do is keep getting people to care that you exist. And a politician, we don't care. I mean, like, more and more people I meet, they're saying, what do we need these people for? Mm. What value are they adding to our lives? What do they do that we need? What's useful about them? And they're not really adding a lot of value, are they?
No.
Just think about the last time you met your ward counselor, if you've ever met your ward counselor, and whether or not you had an interaction with them, what came of it? Think about it. I mean, you know, we've already
never.
We've got a situation in this country where the vast majority of people do not even go to the polls. So you've essentially got an illegitimate government because you've got so few people going to the polls that they're not enough to make a quorum. It wouldn't be enough if you were voting. Let's just say in a board meeting for a little company, and there are five directors, and only two pitch up, that's not enough to make the votes. Nope. You can't make a decision. That's what it's like in South Africa. Two out of five people pitch for an election. The rest don't. They're totally disenchanted with the system. They don't care.
Who can blame them?
Well, what do they get for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we discuss this time and time again, but most people are already used to living in an anarchy. They don't get service delivery and all that stuff.
And that, yeah, absolutely.
You know, especially in places like... you always hear about Orange Farm and places like that where people are just so desperate that what they do is they put rocks and tires in the road. What they're doing is they're screaming out, please, Lord Jesus, will someone help us to just get water and electricity? That's what they're doing.
That's all we need. The basic essentials.
Because, you know, a lot of us go, oh, well, these protesters, they've blocked the road. And it's us. It's me, me, me. But you imagine being so miserable. Mm. That you're being ignored and ignored and ignored and ignored by the people who've promised you. It's not like you projected your needs onto them. They came to you at some point in your community and they said, we're going to solve your problems. So you believed them. And then what do? They
let you down.
As soon as the election's over, they disappear. You never see them on TV at a party or a rally. You see them in a blue light brigade and you're like, but hang on, you said you were going to help me.
Yeah.
Do you think I wouldn't push rocks and burning tires onto the road if that was me? Hell yes, I would. So come on. Anyway, let's not go into too much politics so early.
Yeah, it's very early for politics. I'd rather talk about fashion. What do you think?
No. Listen, I want to know...
Appraisal by Maisel.
Ben, I love that.
Ben has become something of a reference for us when it comes to new podcasts and new TV series. But is there anything you're watching at the moment? I mean, what do you watch and listen to, Law? What are you into?
Oh, no, I'm into TV? Food.
Food? Like
cooking programs.
Oh, you watch those things?
I love cooking programs, yeah. I love a cooking program.
Give me an idea.
Chopped.
What's that on?
It's on 175 on DSTV.
Yeah.
I absolutely love a cooking program. They give you four different ingredients and you've got to make something out of it and you've got to make it tasty and delicious and all the judges and all these fancy
chefs.
Okay,
I ask you something? Doesn't it frustrate the hell out of you that you're watching a show like that and you can't taste the food? I mean, the whole point of food... No, come on, let me explain. Let me just explain it to you from my point of view. I don't want to see someone preparing something that looks beautiful, but I can't taste it. What if it tastes shit, but it looks great? TV can't give you taste.
The judges can.
Absolutely. The judges turn around and say,
none of those kind-hearted judges.
They wheel on some old bird who's been baking for 3,000 years, and they say to her, tell us what you think of this souffle. And she goes, and she sort of sips on it while she's got her Parkinson's hand. Like, I need her opinion. I want to taste that myself. Shit. It's like those people who say to you, oh, this tastes fantastic, try it. And you try it and you go, ugh.
No, I mean, like last night they had to make something with like sugared popcorn and meat and okra and like a
that is revolting.
And then they had to add it and then they had to make, and it was amazing how they just transformed the sugar popcorn into like a sweet dipping sauce and used it as a sugar. But that's what I love about it is that you are thinking out of the box. You're not thinking, that's why I love Chopped, because I think, I mean, and you know what, when you get home from work, all you want to do is watch something completely simple.
Yeah,
I haven't watched any series.
In other words, you don't want to be overwhelmed by something important. I get you.
Just like
work
it's
is
enough.
Hard.
Yeah,
the like days the, long.
Absolutely. Right. All you want to do is just get home and go. Let me watch some making sugared popcorn into a
dipping
spice
sauce.
Dipping sauce.
But there is massive merit in the fact that you watch something that's not taxing after a day. Like as you get busier, depends on your stimulus, I guess.
That's why a lot of people like soap operas.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands, millions of people in South Africa.
Well, someone
in fact
saw the formula and thought, okay, we need this kind of drivel and people will lap it up.
They do and they love it because they're mentally exhausted by the end of
absolutely.
The day.
And all you want to do is just veg out. You don't want your brain to think. You're talking all day. You're dealing on your phone. You're on social media. You're on email. You're doing this. It's constantly on fast forward. When you get home, you just want to go,
Yeah, that's where soap operas come in, I'm telling you. And we've got a massive soap opera culture in South Africa.
Huge.
People just love it.
Completely. What's it, Mvungo?
Tell me, is
Bulbasaur... My sister has been watching Mvungo for like 5 years, bless
her
soul.
Mvungo has been around a long time. It's an institute. Generations. I remember Generations from its first. Do you remember the original Generations?
Yes.
The old one
with
Sophie
Queen?
Dabba.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
This one. This is the music.
When 8 o'clock was 8 o'clock.
How did the SABC fuck this up?
No, because it's such a winner. Such a winner. How
exactly.
did they screw it up? How...
This was our Bold and Beautiful.
This was our Bold and Beautiful. Even I was.
By the way, no, I wanted to ask
you
about
that. You have the
key. Because I saw Brooke from Bold and the Beautiful was here a couple of months ago. Someone
Catherine Kelly Lang.
Yeah, someone I know posted it on their social media. And I was like, who is that? She looked familiar to me.
If you squint.
No, because I remember when I got home from school, I'm talking in the 90s. I would see Bold and the Beautiful on the TV every single day.
6 o'clock.
There we go. And I'd be like, wow, you know, that woman's, she was quite hot.
Yeah. Bless you.
Bless you.
She's still hot. I mean, she's a good looking woman. How old is she now? She must have been in soap operas for 40 years?
Absolutely. If I'm 55, I remember watching it when I was like 15 or 16. So it's 40 years at least.
How old is Catherine Kelly Lang?
She's 57 now.
Jeez. Well, good for her. Wow. Like, holy hell. So anyway,
she looks like a Hollywood 57.
And yeah. She's still on Bold and Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah,
well, I mean, isn't she still in love with the same guy? I mean, how unrealistic is that?
Same guy. She's been married like 15 times.
Yeah, but
at least. And she's
always...
got 14 children from 14 different husbands.
She really should look like
14 seasons. Yeah.
She should look like Dame Judi Dench by now, honestly.
Brooke,
so she was in the country, and I was just wondering how it's possible. You know, because you have to defy the reality a little bit. If you're a soap opera viewer, you have to live in the fantasy world. Mm. And I think a lot of soap opera viewers do. I mean, I know people who love the soaps. But you have to suspend disbelief. It's like going into a superhero movie, except much less cool. Because you're seeing this one fall in love with that one. And the next episode, they're in love with another one. It's changed overnight. And then they're divorced, then they're married, then they have a kid, then... they die and then they come back to life. I mean, you
yeah,
really have
that,
to.
No, that's completely. What's just...
It's like, do you remember Dallas?
Oh, please. Are you
who
kidding?
Shot JR?
Wasn't there also, that was where that show jumped the shark, is they brought back
JR's
brother. No. What was his name?
Patrick, what was his name?
Yeah, Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy, yes. That's
Bobby.
That's before my time. Yeah. I'm looking at
yeah,
y'all like.
I also don't. Yeah.
But do you remember Santa Barbara?
Yeah, that was great. Yes. That was more daytime.
There was, you know, who was on that show? Who was hot as can be? Robin Wright. Do you remember her? She was
no.
in. Yes, man. She's just been in.
Media. It's going to annoy you now.
House of Cards. Thank you.
Yes.
House of Cards. That woman. And she's looking absolutely.
52.
She was also directing.
She's looking terrific, even
House
now.
Of Cards.
Yeah. No, I don't mean
she's
to be
beautiful.
I don't mean to be horrible,
but
if
you
compare.
She used to be super hot then.
Her 52 to Catherine's 57.
Oh, stop it.
Nah.
Well, apples and oranges, really.
Because Robin Wright went on to be in. She was in movies.
She yeah. did?
She also had the role of Sean Penn's husband in real life.
That's right. Now, that must age you. But in those days, she was on
really?
Santa Barbara. I mean, that was the first time I saw her. She was super cute when she was on Santa Barbara, in a very 80s way. But she was, you know, she was
yeah.
really gorgeous.
All-American girl.
Yeah, sure. Now she's beautiful as a much more refined, you know, kind of, what would you call her? Like an achievement. She's a woman who's... No, she's done things. She's accomplished. Accomplished is the word.
I would not want someone to look at me and say, your face looks like an achievement.
No. She's very polished. She's very accomplished. She still looks fantastic.
Yeah, there we go. Fantastic polish. That sounds
yeah.
nice.
Well, you know what I mean. But
yeah,
wow.
She looks good.
Okay. I mean, even in those days and now, she's still gorgeous. So, there we go. A little bit of bullshit for you this morning. We've got to get into the actual news. Do you want to hear what's going on in the news?
Yes,
right. Absolutely.
Well,
real stuff.
Yes, the five things you need to know today. Where shall we begin? Google. Ay, 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 ay. These guys, between Google and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, everybody seems to be losing our data and losing our private information. Just forget about being private It's never going to happen.
It's anymore. Not. It's
not,
over.
We're not so special.
Yeah.
We're all out there.
So everyone is going to eventually have all your information. All right? So in San Francisco, Google announced Monday it is shutting down the consumer version of its online social network after fixing a bug exposing private data as much as 500,000 accounts. They said they will sunset the Google Plus social network. I mean, there are only about 10 people on Google Plus.
Oh, no. Dan Cook's career is now finished.
Do you know anyone who's on Google Plus?
I think we all automatically have it just because we have a Gmail account.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So they'll probably use our numbers based on that. But no, I don't use it either.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope I'm not on there. But there we go. Google Plus, they're going to shut it down for customers that failed to gain meaningful traction after being launched in 2011 as a challenge to Facebook. Well, that didn't work. And Google are a pretty smart company. See, some areas are just not for you. If you're McDonald's, stick to burgers. Don't try and bring out your fashion line. Google spokesperson cited significant challenges in creating and maintaining a successful Google Plus that meets consumers' expectations along with very low usage as the reasons for the move. But they've decided to shut it down. And a big bug has exposed all the private data. So basically, if you are a person on any kind of social network, just forget about having any privacy. It's over. Yeah.
See, this sounds like when a warehouse suddenly goes up in flames after a bad couple of seasons. I reckon they put their own bug in there.
You reckon?
Just to kill
they
their
sabotaged
own.
Sabotaged it.
Yeah, I mean, they knew that this was a dying dog.
All right. Well, they've kicked it now.
Yeah.
Just make sure that that dog is dead. And don't be embarrassing and go around telling people you're sad about Google Plus shutting down. No one cares.
Lost my audience.
Yeah.
Cyril, so yesterday's news.
Yeah, Cyril Ramaphosa has demanded answers over the Zuma secret meeting. Meanwhile, we don't even know who our finance minister is likely to be because Nhlanhla Nene says he's trying to resign. The presidency says he's not trying to resign. These people are so dishonest. You know, here's a guy, and we talked about this briefly yesterday, but Nhlanhla Nene has done something that never happens. He's said, mea culpa, and I want to resign. Never happens. These politicians are like ticks that bite into a dog's asshole, and they stick there forever until you pull them loose and their head bursts. That's how politicians are. This guy, Nhlanhla Nene, who does seem, and I hate to say this because I don't believe any politician is pure and good, but he does, in inverted commas, seem to be one of the decent people in government. Remember, he said no to the Russia deal and a whole lot of other things that we should be grateful for. He did try to steady the ship. He was fired the first time by Jacob Zuma because they wanted to put Des van Rooyen in, which sent the rand plummeting, created absolute chaos, and then all the banks and the various powerful business leaders in South Africa had to get together in like one Uber van and go to Pretoria to talk to Jacob Zuma so that they could talk the country off the edge. And we thought we'd learned lessons. And now, turns out, according to the EFF anyway, who are using this as massive political fodder, that Nhlanhla Nene was having meetings with the Guptas. He came out and admitted, yes, I did have meetings with the Guptas, but I didn't do anything that they asked me to. But he's not tainted. So what I see this as, and this is a... I mean, this is totally speculative, but I see this as a massive opportunity for Cyril to clean out the rest of cabinet. Because if you're going to take out Nhlanhla Nene over having dealings with the Guptas, you can get rid of Malusi Gigaba, you can get rid of Batabile Dlamini. There are loads of crap ministers, really, really crap ministers, who the president needs an excuse to fire. I mean, if the president has any moral substance whatsoever, if he has any backbone, this is the time to get rid of those people. Use Nhlanhla Nene as the excuse. Turn this on the EFF, fire all those shit ministers, and hire the cabinet you want. Competent, amazing, dedicated public servants who want to deliver. Imagine a government that actually did things for us. Imagine. It's not that hard to do. Imagine all the people. Right?
Living
doing
the
what they say. You may say I'm a dreamer.
You are a dreamer. You're dreaming right. away, baby. Oh,
that sounded so pleasant, folks.
Did you hear about the police checking out? Well, first of all, you hear about this aircraft that went down in Midrand.
What happened? Oh, I heard about it, but I didn't.
Can you imagine? Here's the scenario. You're in your house in Vorna Valley. Now, two people were killed. The person who was flying the plane. There was obviously a problem on board. and a guy who was doing the garden of this house, the gardener.
No.
So imagine you're busy pulling weeds out of the marigold flower bed or something. I mean, this is horrendous. You hear this noise and you're like, ah, come on, these planes are always flying low. There's Grand Central over there. You know, there's stuff going on. This is Midrand. Residential area. Next thing, boom. It's all over.
Oh my God, that's hectic. Imagine shame, man.
Just minding your own business.
And you're just weeding.
I know. And I feel very sorry for both of these people. Obviously, the guy who was flying the plane, because no pilot ever wants to crash land in a residential area. Their chances of survival are minimal. So there must be something that went wrong in the plane. I mean, that's the first assumption. But what was interesting, and I saw this on the TV news last night. This is fascinating to me. Uh-huh. There's one neighbor. She lives in the house next door or two houses down or whatever. She was getting ready to go somewhere. And she heard this plane and she saw it coming in. And as soon as it crashed into the house, what did she do? She got in her car and went to the mall.
No,
what?
No. Oh.
No.
She says, we were panicked. These are her words. We were panicked and we decided to go to the mall until things had calmed down.
But it's already crashed. What?
I mean, no, sure. She's not emergency services. So what's she going to do? I would have stayed at home. I mean, it's not your house. Maybe go around, see if you can be helpful. Maybe there's something you can do outside. Bring them tea or coffee. You're two houses away.
But you know, the meme, man, of that cartoon dogs just chilling in a burning room and going, everything's fine.
Yes.
That's neighbor. It's like, everything's fine.
It's all right. I'll just go shop.
I'll just mind my own business.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Well, Trump has said that America owes Kavanaugh an apology after the Supreme Court battle. Yeah, he's never one to back down from controversy, our President Trump. At a White House swearing-in ceremony, he stood next to Justice Brett Kavanaugh and said he had been proven innocent of the sexual assault allegations, which is not exactly true. Got to be fair about this. He wasn't proven innocent. No one's ever proven innocent. You only can be proven not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there wasn't enough evidence in this case. That's why they decided that there was no reason not to confirm him as a Supreme Court justice. But Trump, he doesn't stop there. He went on to say this is a very, very difficult time for young men in America.
Oh.
He's doubling down. He said, very tough for young men. You could be accused, he said, you could be accused of anything. And people could say something about you. And you could be held, you could be, your life could be destroyed. So anyway, that's what Trump is doing at the moment. So. And finally, Toyota SA workers have gone on strike demanding better working conditions. Yeah, apparently at Toyota plants across the country, they've been demanding all kinds of things. The National Union of Metal Workers says its members are resolute and disciplined and will not back down until all their demands are met. They want a transformation committee to be set up to oversee and participate in the recruitment and procurement process that they are demanding independent disciplinary processes from. You know, I do wish I could just sit in a room with these guys from the unions for a second and just explain to them what the future looks like, because I don't think anyone does any forward planning here. It's all about the immediate. Who believes, even in your wildest imagination, who believes that there's going to be work in the car assembly and manufacturing business of the future that won't be done primarily, and by that I mean 10 to 1 by machines? It's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's already happening. There are plants that are completely human-free, where they put together cars. A machine does a much better job. It's much more efficient. It's much more, much less labor-intensive, much less dangerous. The machine, if it breaks down, can be replaced with another machine that can work 24 hours, whereas people can't.
Machines don't have relatives that suddenly die.
Yeah. Correct. And I mean,
and they don't get sick.
Get stuck in traffic.
And please don't get me wrong here. This is not a completely unsympathetic and cruel and capitalist way of looking at things. But the reality is, if you're in car manufacturing and that is your skill, National Union of Metal Workers, your time is ticking. It's going to be over soon. You're not going to have a lot of time anymore to make money. You should be grateful for whatever you can get.
Just having a job right now.
Because you are talking yourself out of a job, and there are thousands and thousands of South Africans lining up for the jobs that you currently have, even the shit jobs. So I wish I could sit down with these unions and say to them, listen, guys, you are fighting a losing battle here. Be glad with whatever these vehicle manufacturers are going to charge you. We're one of the few countries in the world where you can still, and this is a very iffy area, but you could still get like reasonably good value for money for labor. Not for long. People are demanding increases here, increases there. This condition must change. That must. Unions are getting involved. There's no hope. You're going to be priced out by a machine. So stop it now before you hurt yourself. This is your last chance to mean something in the economy and to represent the people you represent, and pretend to do that when the machines are coming is crazy. It's just a complete lack of foresight. So stop it now before it becomes ugly. You're all going to lose your jobs. That's the reality. And unless you have other skills, other abilities, there's something else you can do, you're going to find yourself sitting at home unemployed. Stop with this, we want more of this, we want more of that, like you're in a position to argue. Some machine can do the job of 20 people and probably already is.
And faster.
They're just waiting for an excuse to roll it out. And you're giving them that excuse. I know it's an unenviable position and you've got no bargaining power on this, but that's just the way it is. It's like if I'd stayed in radio. If I'd stayed in radio, I would have had no bargaining power. They would have told me what I was going to earn. That's what they did to me every year. They told me, this is how much we're paying you. And I'd say, well, I didn't. They'd go, shut up. Fuck off. Get out of my office. I'm not paying you more. There's no way. I couldn't stay there. And radio is a dying industry. If I'd stayed in that, like if you stay in metalwork, car manufacturing, you're going to be out of a job. Sorry. Make the change now. Get out while you can. Don't listen to your unions. They just want your membership fees. And they make it all about them anyway. You never hear the ordinary worker being quoted in these things. It's always union spokesperson X, Y, and Z. Anyway, let's get on with it. We've got lots to do today. Bitcoin trading at $6,648 and Ethereum at $229. Not a lot of movement there, I'm afraid. Let's go to Ben, see what he's got for us in the sport.
Well, it looks like Khabib Nurmagomedov's next fight is going to be very one-sided against him. Luka Modric is now in line for the Ballon d'Or as well as the best. And nobody is watching Australia versus Pakistan in the cricket.
Not one.
Of course, with all big pantomimes or stage shows or whatever, the Khabib versus McGregor fight, there's still lots of talk around it. Well, firstly, McGregor believes there should be a rematch, but as Joe Rogan said, well, the fight was very conclusive. Khabib kind of kicked your ass, so...
What do we need another one for?
Why do we need another one? Because there's people queuing up. When you're the champion, everybody wants to fight you, and McGregor's not the champion. He wasn't the champion going into this fight, and once he got put in his ass, he's very much not the champion. So, very ballsy to think that he would... I mean, obviously, the rematch would be a huge event, and it would be a big sellout and all that kind of stuff, but there have been plenty of people in line. However, Khabib Nurmagomedov's future is uncertain right now because he will probably have to go in front of the Arizona State Gambling Sports / Ethics Committee, whatever, and learn his fate because he was meant to get $2 million for beating McGregor. He's got nothing so far because of what happened after the fight when he jumped the fence and then attacked McGregor's jiu-jitsu coach, trainer person, and all the other violence that ensued. So... there's so much up in the air with this guy. Is he going to get suspended? Is he going to be stripped of his title? Is he going to then get beaten up by his father? Well, I can tell you for sure, one of those three is true and is the last one. His dad is going to beat the living crap out of him. He said as much. He said he's absolutely embarrassed. His team, because his dad obviously coached him from a young boy in how to fight and grapple and do things in the Russian mountains. I mean, his dad, if you think he's rough, you should see his dad. So his dad's going to
give him... his dad has got hair all over his face.
His dad's going to give him a proper bluxum. And Khabib even said as much. He says, my dad's going to smash me when I get back. So he is going to go toe-to-toe with his dad, but get beaten the fuck up. So he's got that to look forward to.
Well, we want to watch that. That's a fight I'd be prepared to watch.
Put a camera on that. The bears in the background going... Yeah.
And they usually constitute the largest part of the audience, right?
Oh, especially part of that family in the hills there. So that's all things to consider. So McGregor is literally long way down the line. Long way down the line. I mean, there are challenges that are more deserving. Then there's his dad, and then they're the Bears. So I can't see it happening. I can't see it happening. Where to for Conor McGregor right now? Well, who knows? But then again, this is sports. So actually, who cares? This is the thing. One day you're cock of the block, the next day you're a feather duster. We all know the sayings, and now it's going to apply to McGregor, who obviously believed that he was bigger than who he was. But I mean, he was always going to lose that fight. We were all saying it last week. Yeah, so unlucky for him. He'll no doubt just spiral into a vortex of cocaine and orange woman from here.
All right.
Which is what happens in this level of sport.
Orange women.
Okay. Orange.
So,
yeah.
Luka Modric, he won the FIFA best, the best.
Uh-huh.
I think that's like this bad, like, 80s cartoon. The best.
The FIFA best. The best.
The FIFA the best.
You see, it's Europeans who've just, they translated, like, some kind of French or Spanish or Portuguese term straight into English. And you mean the best.
Yeah, I think it's just FIFA saying, guys, we must have the best awards thing ever. Okay, cool. We'll call it the best. Okay, yeah. Cool. But the Ballon d'Or. Yes. That's still going. The Ballon d'Or is basically been going around since 1956. Some English guy called Stan Matthews, he was the first ever winner. So what happens with the Ballon d'Or is that you get journalists from around the world, they all come together, and they give their submissions of who the best footballist is in the entire world. Mm-hmm. It's a bit pointless in places. I mean, 30 nominees for this year's Ballon d'Or. 30. Who the best footballers in the world? Is either going to be Ronaldo Messi, or on any other year like this one, which is like a purple moon, is going to be Modric. I mean, sure, you can have Sergio Aguero. He's great. Man City's best ever player. I mean, you can have Gareth Bale. You can have Thibaut Courtois.
Yeah, but they just, I mean, you've said it before. We're living in an era where there are two giants of the game who just are unmitigated in terms of their ability to rule over the sport, right?
Yeah. So this 30-man list is just bollocks, really. I mean, okay, sure. If the Ballon d'Or's effort is to showcase the best in football over a wider kind of spectrum so that there can be a goalkeeper, a defender, a midfielder, a striker, a left-back, all that kind of stuff, yeah. Then great. Then well done, guys. You've fulfilled this role. And by nominating 30 players like Antoine Griezmann, Isco, Harry Kane, N'Golo Kante, Hugo Lloris, Mario Mandzukic, Sadio. I mean, they're all good guys. Mostly strikers, though. So, I mean, that's... Paul Pogba. I mean, you can't have him in the same place as, like, a Sergio Ramos, Luis Suarez, no. Rafael Varane. So, yeah, there's 30. So, Modric will probably win this again, because if you win the best, you're the best. So, what's the Ballon d'Or going to change?
Right.
But the Ballon d'Or, of course, is still, in many ways, the purest award, because FIFA broke away from the Ballon d'Or. And the Ballon d'Or is great because it gives you that chance to say something foreign once a year. I feel cultured. I just said Ballon d'Or. It's spelt with apostrophes and small letters that become big letters. So I feel good about saying it. Right. Nothing else. It
means gold balloon.
Yes, Gareth, pretty much. Yeah. Gold ball. Yeah. But the big story of the Ballon d'Or is that there's a women's Ballon d'Or now. For the first time.
Is that
time.
Called the Ballon d'Or?
Well, Gareth, now you're just getting very snooty. There is a women's Ballon d'Or, and there will be 15 of the women's in there. So that's a big step.
Law, have they called you to come and collect one?
No, not yet.
No, I'm looking through the
Bless
list.
Bless them.
I'm looking through the list. Your name's not on it.
Is it not on it? No.
No. Lucy Bronze.
I thought it was going to be on it, but yeah.
Pernille Harder.
No.
Ada Hegerberg.
Pernille Harder.
Amandine Henry. Lindsay Horan, Sam Kerr, Fran Kirby. Oh, the list goes on.
And on.
It does go on.
Are you sure I'm not at the bottom?
No.
Are you sure?
Back and forth. Marta. Is Marta your alias, Lorraine? Marta's going to win, basically.
No, my alias would be Fifi.
Okay. Fifi. No, up and down. Can't find Fifi. No. But basically, basically Marta's going to win because Marta's like the Ronaldo of women's football. Yes, I totally did suck it out of there. In the what do you call it, cricket, there's a test match taking place right now in Dubai.
And no one's watching?
Well, see, this is the whole thing, because Pakistan historically have quite badly behaved and there's been terrorist action there. Like, the big teams don't go there. Yeah, they're finally getting some ODI cricket back in there. They've got a nice T20 league going there. And I support Pakistan all the way. I think there's always two sides. It's two different kinds of people. And there's the cricket lovers who can behave, and then there's the other guys who are just a bunch of dicks.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the latter, though, the UAE is the host for Pakistan test matches. So you've got Australia over there right now. You've got, I think, one security guy in the stands waiting for a pitch invasion from nobody.
Huh.
I mean, think, in Dubai, no one's just chilling there on a Tuesday to go watch a bit of cricket.
You're either working or you're deported.
You're either working, deported, in a slum, or you're living a yacht life.
Yeah, but they never let you never see the slum people. Yeah. They keep them underground. No,
they never get to watch cricket, which would be a huge thing for Pakistan for the support basis. But no, it's not
sure because half of the Pakistan cricket team's relatives are working in Dubai building skyscrapers.
Well, I cannot confirm that, Gareth. That seems like a racial slur to me. But let's move right on. Pakistan got 482 all out. Well, look, this pitch offers nothing for the bowlers. Absolutely nothing other than where to bowl, the marking on the crease. That's all this pitch offers. There's no life. There's no movement. Muhammad Hafeez put foot to ball, scored 126. Harris Sohail, 110. Ashad Shafiq scored 80. Basically, the bowlers were just toiling. I mean, Stark, Siddle is a toiler. He's a road specialist. So if there's nothing in the pitch, Siddle will just run in all day, tell you how he's a vegan, has 7 bananas. That's what gives him energy. So he was the best bowler with 3 for 58. Nathan Lyon, the frontline spinner, of course, he bowled a whole one-day game by himself, 52 overs for his 2 wickets. And then young Manus Labuschagne, he debuted and got 1 for 29.
Oh.
The Australian leg spinner. So good for Manus. And then the Aussies, well, they went to bat, and of course, with no assistance for the bowlers, they are 30 for 0. Khawaja and Finch are currently bored shitless at the crease win. Well, that'll be resumed. And if you do enjoy Test cricket with absolutely no sound, no atmosphere, no nothing, then this is the match for you. I know, I always give you a chance to enjoy some sort of sport. But today is the 9th of October, is it not?
Yes.
Yes, it is. That means that today, in East London, your big day for the year is here, East London people. Oh. I know most days it's about or just sort of dodging trash and traffic circles that are terrible as a road user.
Yeah, yeah. East but London today, especially.
Today at 6 p.m, you get to watch a day-night T20 match between SA and Zimbabwe.
Oh!
Yay!
Durban,
I'm going.
Durban gets the July.
Lucky.
Cape Town
them.
Gets the Cape Town Sevens. Johannesburg gets most business. But East London, your big day is today. Zimbabwe.
Wow, lucky them.
T20.
That's great, huh?
Do they have flights to East London?
Yeah, they do. I went to one last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Really? Okay.
I think there's 3 flights a day to East London and back. The metropolis of East London. Yeah, look, it's quite nice. You land with the sea and then suddenly they go through like a slightly hilly area and then you're there. Huh. So yeah, probably not too late for you to go and catch a flight. You can go down to East London.
Yeah, quickly. What time is it?
6 p.m. Lorraine.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
You can catch that one.
Yeah.
So the Proteas, of course, are looking to just get some confidence, really. I mean, the ODI series, no one who watched it, so I have no idea what happened. No, nobody watched it. I mean, like the third match, they knew nobody was watching. They put in the same time as the Springboks.
Oh.
When have you ever heard the Proteas and the Springboks playing at the same time?
Never.
No one cared about that series. So the T20 is about, well, just trying to, again, fill the void of AB de Villiers leaving. Is there anyone that can do it? I don't think so. But we'll...
What about Faf? No?
We'll soldier on. Well, Faf gets injured and he's there. He's a captain and stuff. And that's about it. There's actually bugger all in sport today. Really is.
No, I think you've pretty much filled our... Yeah. You've filled our cup. Thank you, Ben.
Especially the East London one.
Yeah, there it is.
I think that was the headline.
There we are.
Not being nominated.
East London's biggest day, Lorraine Maisel isn't on the female Ballon d'Or.
For the Ballon d'Or.
There's your headlines for today's sport. Right.
Very good, everybody. Let's get to Said by Sia. Here we go. Some positivity and optimism for your morning. Take it away, Sia.
This morning story just is nothing short of, in my opinion, a goosebump-worthy moment. Folks, there's no great scientific invention that I have for you this morning. No medical advancement. I just think it's a heartwarming story because I stumbled upon this video on social media recently. And for me, I just had a moment of thinking about what are the chances of this happening and more so just how incredible this is. It gives me hope. And the story is of a girl by the name of Elsie. She lives in a small Filipino village. She's blind, has never attended school. But this is the thing. And so often in these remote parts of the world, people are left shunned and they aren't given education. But she has just fallen in love with music for the longest of time. And she'll listen to songs and she just starts singing along to them. And someone was able to record her. And this is a video that now has trended on social media because of her incredible voice. There's a clip of her singing that I have for you this morning. Just take a listen to this.
Are you sure this is good?
In my opinion, it is.
All right, let me just give this the respect it
deserves. In my opinion, it is.
All right, here she is. This is her. What's her name again?
Her name is Elsie.
All right, Elsie, take it away.
We'll always love you. We'll always my darling, you.
Goosebumps.
Bittersweet memories. That is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye. Please don't cry.
Wow.
We both know I'm not what you need. And I will always love you.
Wow. Wow, there she is. I mean, that's a pretty incredible. So she lives in the small fishing village in the Philippines and she's blind.
You really just take a moment to think about this. And she has been shunned by society there. Oh, I didn't mention that she cannot speak English.
Shunned? What does that mean? They just push her aside and ignore her?
They just think, firstly, she's a woman, no education, she's of no use. If she's also blind, she can't work.
How old is she?
She's a teenager and just is able to listen to music, and she realizes that she loves to sing.
She remembered the English. She's memorized it.
Yeah. Just by listening to the song. So it's all because of a tourist named Daryl Burnett who recorded her singing and posted her on social media. So far, her video has been viewed more than 3 million times and been shared more than 84,000 times. And I have faith in the internet already, because people are already banding together to help her some way, to upskill her somehow. So I just, I think it's so cool. It's sweet. It's simple. That's just it by for this morning.
Beautiful.
That is a beautiful story. See, I mean, that really gave me goosebumps, because she's got no backing vocal, she's got no backing music, she's singing all on her own. I mean, that is sensational.
I did you hear, Lord, it was said by Sia
and appraisal by Maisel.
All put into one.
All right, a couple of messages that have come through. Sean says, I listened to a podcast about removing your history from the internet and whether it's possible or not. The short answer is no. If you've ever used the internet, there will be traces of you there forever. No software available that can remove all the traces. It is scary, but as you said, we've just got to accept it. And Tabisa says, hey guys, greetings from Der Schweiz. That's Switzerland. There are a few things I'd like to address before the show goes on today. What the hell happened to Touch HD? Well, I think he's still running it. I mean, I'm not involved there. The concept looks shit now, plus all the big names on the lineup have disappeared. Honestly, I don't know what's going on. Am I the only one who's noticed? Did the ANC cash flow suddenly stop? Nolo, come the fuck down. Stop kicking down doors. Besides that, you're dope. Well, there's some nice feedback for Nolo. Sia is an alcoholic. I don't buy that story he told us yesterday. Those are lies. Ben, thanks for the greatest sports commentary on the planet. You're the reason I give a shit about sport today. All right, Ben. And much love, Gareth. Thanks for brilliant concept. Can't live without the GCS. That's Tabiso in Switzerland. Nice, huh?
How do you say hello in Swiss?
Guten Tag.
No, really? That's German.
German, yeah.
That one.
But don't they speak Swedish?
They speak
Swedish?
French and they speak German in Switzerland.
Swiss?
There's no such thing as Swiss. There's Romani, which is a language that a certain small community in Switzerland speaks, but it's mostly French and German.
Okay.
So you can say Guten Tag or...
Bonsoir.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. That's French.
All right. Anyway, so Michelle says.
Comment allez-vous?
Michelle says, so good to hear Laura again. Your phone is now a. Laura, you. Oh, yeah. Your phone is a cock-a-log.
Cock-a-log.
You get a log of cocks in your phone.
Talking about that, I just got a message from Tinder. Just as we're sitting at 7 a.m. in the morning. What is this?
Yes, girl.
Someone says. Every time Lorraine laughs, I'm not sure if it's genuinely her or you, Gareth, playing that recorded sound clip you have of her laughing. I still use that all the time, the Law laughing sound clip. People love it. They love your laugh, Law.
Oh, bless. Thank you.
Here it is. Here's the recording. And here's Law. Here's Law at a different time.
That wasn't me. That wasn't me. sent you some bizarre clippings, Gareth, but that wasn't
not
me.
Not you? Is this you?
No. The Wicked Witch of Santon.
Yeah. All right, Laura used to be the host of... The reason we got so many clips of her laughing is because she used to be the host of a show called Laughter Therapy, among other things. All right, we got a very big exclusive today at 8 o'clock, and I'm excited as all hell about this because three people, I recorded this on Friday. It's an exclusive. Peter Boghossian, James Lindsay, and Helen Pluckrose. These are three people who have been, they've taken on the establishment in academia and shown them all to be a bunch of frauds in certain faculties, talking mostly about these courses that they give, these degrees that they offer in various dark corners of the humanities department, like intersectionality and identity politics and all of this stuff. It's obvious cooked up crap, and to get published in one of those supposedly reputable journals is very easy. In fact, what these guys do, just to prove the point, is they take 3,000 words out of Mein Kampf, I mean, a book that is full of just hatred and vitriol and nastiness, and they turn it into a proper thesis, which is submitted to one of these journals and gets published, proving that these courses are a waste of the money of the parents who are paying for them and the government who's subsidizing them, and that they should really be shut down. But we talked to them, that's Peter Boghossian, James Lindsay, and Helen Pluckrose, just after 8 o'clock this morning. You don't want to miss that. It's really a pretty big exclusive, and they talk about some of the reaction they've had. This only happened this time last week, I think. So they're getting a lot of reactions now from both the established academics, the leftist activists, and a whole lot of other people, and you'll want to hear what they're talking about. It's all very, very interesting. I think the kind of thing that many people are thinking, like, you study this stuff at university, how seriously can we take you? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People are kind of asking questions, which I think a lot of us should be asking, about whether or not this is real stuff, and whether we should be paying any attention whatsoever to the kind of crap that's coming out of some of the universities. And this is obviously in America, but it goes just as much for some of the universities here in South Africa. You've got to admit, there's a lot that's worth reviewing in all of this. CliffCentral.com.